was a bit of a delayed reaction, wasn't it? Come on, let's pray. I want to read you a scripture before we get right into the word this morning. But I think God's wanting to do something here. I think there's some breakthrough that needs to happen in some lives here this morning. And we've been talking about miracles, and I want to talk a little bit more about miracles this morning. But listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity," or other versions might say, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and love and self-discipline." You haven't been given a spirit of fear. God doesn't hand out a spirit of fear. God doesn't hand out a spirit of timidity. God doesn't hand out something that is going to cause people to pull back. But what he does hand out is a spirit of power. And he wants you to be empowered. He wants you to live an empowered life. He wants you to be able to step into that place. And he wants us to be able to live in such a way that we're not worried about our future, because we're empowered to live it. And he also gives us that spirit of self-discipline. Some other versions say sound mind. In other words, that we're able to think, we're able to see into the future, and we're able to trust our God into that. We're able to understand that he is with us. So come on, who wants to receive that spirit of power this morning? The reality is, if I get my theology right, you don't need to receive it, because it's already been given. Because God says that you have been given that, but I think some of us need to step into it. So come on, let's decide this morning that we are going to step in to a spirit of power, that we're not going to be in a spirit of timidity. Come on, let's raise our hands. I want to pray. I just believe that this morning that God is wanting to break through here, that some of us, we hear about this stuff, we know it can happen, but we don't know that it can happen for us. And I want to say to you this morning that it can happen for you. It can happen from every single person in here. You can start to live with a spirit of power. Lord, I just pray for people across this place this morning. I pray as we open your word this morning that you would start to breathe life into us, that there won't be just mere words that I speak, but it will be the words of your Holy Spirit that start to breathe life into us. Lord, I pray that you would give us, I thank you that you've given us a spirit of power. Lord, I pray that we would step into that right now in Jesus' name, that we would step into that, we would start to live that way. Lord, I just pray for people here this morning that might be discouraged, that might be feeling like they can't see any way out, they can't see a way to be empowered. Lord, I just pray by your Spirit right now that you would blow across them, that you would start to change something inside of them, that your anointing would start to flow in this place, Lord Jesus. It would start to flow. Lord, I pray for people that need breakthrough, people that need miracles, people that are in such a place that there is no other way but God. There is no other way but God. Lord, I pray, but God would start to move. I pray for marriages in this place this morning where it is a but God situation, but for God it seems hopeless. We thank you that there it is not hopeless, but God is going to intervene and going to change those circumstances. But God is going to start to change the way that we think. Lord, I pray for people in their finances across this place where they don't know how they're going to get through. But I thank you in but God. But God. But God can intervene. But God can empower them. But God can bring about change in those situations. Lord, I pray for other relationships here this morning. People that may be disempowered and disconnected from family. Lord, I pray that through your power, you would bring about restoration. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, have a seat. Fantastic. We've had a great week. Can I have our little miracle offering booklet there, Anna? Last week we shared with you, and we took quite a deal of time to do it, to talk about a miracle vision. In other words, what we've laid out in this little book, It's not all about figures. It's about people's lives being changed. It's all about that. And we laid out that vision last week. And it's going to take a miracle to see that vision fulfilled. The thing is, I believe in miracles. And I believe that God is going to do amazing things through that. What I did want to make really clear to you this morning is, as you know, some of you have been around here for a while, you'd realize that last year that we did 3 miracle offerings as part of our year, that we took up 3 miracle offerings. This year we've decided to do it a little differently. We've decided just to have the one miracle Sunday for the year. So when you are giving, when you are committing, you're actually making a commitment. You're actually getting a vision for the whole year. We'll launch the vision again next year. There'll be new things. There'll be you know, some of the same things that we continue to work with that we've got long-term commitments to will all be there. As the year goes on, we're going to have some special days where we focus on what's happening in mission. We might have a day where we particularly look at local mission, another one where we look at what's happening internationally, another one where we look at what's happening across the state. We're going to go that sort of way. But just if you've been wondering, we actually are making a commitment for right till basically this time next year when we have 2011, I'm a miracle vision. So I just want to encourage you to be part of a miracle. Be part of that vision. So even this morning, if you just haven't had time to think, you can fill your form in and you can drop it into at the resource desk after the service, or you can put it in the offering bucket next week and you can just mark that out on those forms that are in that, or even if you use our normal form and tick miracle offering, you can still be part of it. My encouragement is be part of it. Don't just think, just maybe it's a bit tough for you at the moment, and you think, gee, I'd like to be, but I haven't got a lot. I want to encourage you just to be part of it. Even if for you it's $5, and just to be part of it. You might say, I'm putting $5 in, and I'm believing that I'm gonna put some more in the future. Why don't you, by faith, step in and be part of it? But I can report to you the good news is that that so far to this point, we've raised about, with through what has actually been collected in cold hard cash in the bank and what has been promised, we're up to about $47,500. So we're making really good progress. So let's keep at it. Let's keep doing that. I know the team are working with some other ways that we can raise money for our child survival program, which is all part of what's happening in Ethiopia. So let's keep that in the front of our minds. Let's keep praying for that, because it is a miracle vision. Who remembers the start of this year? Some of you have got, you know, some of you should be in a home. You can't even remember the start of this year. Hey, can you remember when you got up this morning? I think I could preach the same sermon every single week because you wouldn't remember the week before. What do you reckon? I'll just come up with a real ripper. I'll preach it every week and we'll be right. We started 2010, and one of the things that we talked about is that, and I believe this strongly, was it's time. And you can remember I talked about, for some of you whose memories are a little bit better, you'll be able to remember back to Gough Whitlam. And when Gough Whitlam came to power in Australia, he ran a very good campaign, and the whole thing was built around this jingle where they talked about it's time for change. And there was sort of this groundswell in Australia of people believing that now was the time that something could actually change. And certainly Gough brought in huge changes politically, and history judges how they work or didn't work. But there was something that was going on in the country at the time. Now, I believe when I started preaching at the beginning of this year, 2010, that it was time for change. That it was time for us as Energizer Life Church to start to step into a year of growth. To start to step in to not being the same. And I just want to reiterate this morning that it's time. It's time, and I've talked about living but with a spirit of power, not a spirit of timidity. And I think for people here this morning, for some of you, it's time. You've been thinking about it up here, and you've been wondering about it, but I want this morning for you to start to engage with your heart, to start to engage with your soul, and say, I'm going to step into that, and some of the things that I know to be true in my head, I'm going to start to make them true in my heart, I'm going to start to make them true in my soul, and I'm going to start to say, it's time. It's my time. It's our time. It's our time to see amazing things happen across this city of Hobart. I was encouraged this morning. Remember Chris Mack that was here about 3 months ago? A young guy from New Zealand running a fantastic church in Dunedin, reaching a whole lot of young adults in that city. And he just contacted me on Facebook. And he says, Dave, keep going. Great things are going to happen in Hobart. You know, God is going to do great things in your city. You know, the future's there for you. And he just felt to encourage me. And I just believe that it's important that we encourage each other. It is important that you start to speak to those in your world and say, hey, come on, keep going. Because God is definitely up to something new. God is up to new things in this city. I believe that there is a new confidence that's starting to rise in the church. There's a new confidence that's starting to rise in the kingdom. And I encourage you to get on and be part of that. You see, sometimes we can actually be cynical when we see God start to move somewhere. And we think, oh, well, what's all that about? But actually, it's those that choose to get on board. It's those that choose to get on board with what God is doing that are actually moved to a place of breakthrough. Yeah. And I want us to start to, as individuals, as a church, as families, as life groups, to start to move to a place of breakthrough. I don't want us to stop where we are. I don't want us to think, well, I've actually got a pattern now. If you like, I've got a paradigm. I've got a way of thinking that is just going to get me through to the end. You see, that's not the way that God wants you to live. You see, we're asked to live by faith, not by sight. In other words, if you think you've got it all worked out, if you think you've got a pattern that you can live by, God's actually just wanting to break that pattern up, and he's actually wanting you to step out of that, and he's wanting you to start to live by faith. And so often we start to move into those places. So this morning I just believe that we can be part of miracles. And you might be one of those people that thinks, yeah, miracles happen, but they don't happen to me. Let's be honest here. Who's ever thought that? I've thought that. You know, I've prayed things, and you see these people that just seem to be blessed. And it was interesting. I was with some friends a while back, and we were recounting something that happened, and somebody made a comment about silver spoons. In other words, they said, you know, it seemed like that time was blessed, and there were just, you know, people there, you know, you maybe just about tripped over the silver spoons as you're walking around, because everybody had a silver spoon in their mouth. And of course, that was a bit of a joke, and it was a little bit cynical. But the reality is, sometimes that sort of thinking starts to get into our heads. Sometimes we think that the blessing of God happens to certain people. Sometimes we think that the blessing of God happens to those that were just born lucky. It happens to those that were born into the right family. It happens to those that were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. That I want to tell you this morning, that is absolute rubbish. The favor of God, and I'm going to talk about this in a lot more depth tonight, but the favor of God is for everybody who steps into the kingdom of God. The favor of God is for everybody that steps into the kingdom of God. See, God's favor is on you. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and you've decided to be a follower of Jesus Christ, His favor is on you. In other words, yeah, we might trip over the silver spoons because you've jolly well got a silver spoon in your mouth because you're a son and you're a daughter of the Most High God, of the King of Kings. You're a prince, you're a princess, you are royalty. Yeah, you might have a silver spoon in your mouth. You can actually expect the favor of God on your life. I think sometimes we never see it when we think the miracles happen over here, they happen to other people, because we're not prepared to put ourselves out there and say, God has got His favor on me and I'm expecting Him to bless me. I'm not talking about being irresponsible and walking around, oh, I'm blessed. I'm talking about living in such a way where you realize who you are, you realize that you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God, you realize that you're blessed, and you start to live that way. And you see, did you know that's the time that blessing actually comes into your world? Yeah. Sometimes we can look at everybody else and say, oh yeah, it's all right for you. You know, you got a nice house and you got a nice car and you got this and you got that. And you just, do you know where I came from? You know, I came from East Devonport. That's where I lived. I came from East Devonport. The funky rich people lived in West Devonport. I lived in East Devonport. And Alex came from West Devonport. I don't know how we met. I don't know how we got across the river. But anyway, I lived in East Devonport. And
actually, and East Devonport had a bit of a reputation as being the tough side of Devonport, you know. And you know, I could have grown up thinking, and sometimes I've actually thought like that, you know, it's all right if you grew up over there, or you grew up with this, or you grew up with that, but I grew up here, and this is all I've got. I want to say that that is a lie from the pit of hell. Absolutely. I'm going for it this morning, but I just believe that some of us have actually got to change our thinking. I want to talk to you about a new paradigm this morning. I want to talk to you about a paradigm that will change, a paradigm that will enable you to start to move to that place where blessing, where miracles actually happen in your life. They don't just happen in other people's life. And I think that somehow that our thinking's almost got that way. We believe in miracles. We believe in the power of God. We believe all this stuff, but we perhaps believe it's going to happen to somebody else. And I want us to start to believe that it's going to happen in us, and it's going to happen through us, and it's going to happen to the people around us, because we are blessed, because we are children of God. So what's a paradigm? Do you know what a paradigm is? It's basically a model or a pattern or an example or a template or a standard or a prototype. You can use it in all those sorts of things, or it can be talked about this way. It's a philosophical and theoretical framework, listen to this, of scientific school or discipline within which theories, laws, and generalizations and experiments are performed in support of them are formulated. Anybody heard of the great Egyptian astronomer called, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right, but it's Ptolemy. Anybody heard of this guy? How do you say that, Jen? Ptolemy. So it's a silent P, is it? Okay, I could make a good joke there, but I won't. the silent P. Gee. I'm doing everything I can. Ptolemy was the great Egyptian astronomer, and he actually used the paradigm based on the fact that the Earth, this Earth that we live in, was the very center of the universe. So in his day, and for years and years and years afterwards, everybody believed that everything else rotated around the Earth, and we right here were the center of the universe. Have you met people like that? Have you met people like that that actually believe that they are the center of the universe? I'll refrain again. Actually, our cat's like that. And as he's got older, he actually believes it stronger and stronger. The little Kurt, you know what he does? He gets up, wake up in the morning, and starts meowing for food, and then you feed him, and then he gobbles the whole lot up, and then half an hour later he comes back, and he starts again, and he starts meowing for food again, and you give him more, and I think as it's got colder, he's just thinking, oh, if I get fatter, I'm going to be happy here. And he honestly believes that he's the center of the universe. He believes that we exist to open doors for him to go in and out of the house. He thinks we exist to light the fire for him so he can stretch out and lie in front of it. His whole world, his whole universe revolves totally around him. And sometimes you do meet people that actually live with that paradigm of life. They believe that the whole universe revolves around them. I don't need to say a lot more about that. There's this other guy who was called, and Jen will probably help me with the pronunciation here again, but his name was Copernicus, and he was a Renaissance astronomer, and he was actually shot down in flames in the 1500s when he dared to talk about the fact that he thought that the Earth was not the center of the universe. And he came up with another paradigm. And that paradigm was that the sun was the center of the universe and all the planets revolved around the sun. Now, we understand that a lot of that has been proven true, but we also understand that the paradigm has been stretched much, much bigger than that, that we actually understand that this whole solar system that we live in, that this sun and all the planets that revolve around our sun, is just like, it's a little bit like the end of your fingernail when you put that whole thing in the whole of the universe. It's just a tiny little drop in the bucket of this massive universe that goes on and on and on. So once again, the paradigm, the way that we look at it has been changed and it's been expanded. Paul talks about paradigms in the New Testament. He says, listen to this, Romans 12 verse 2, he says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. In other words, he says, don't live by the paradigm, don't live by the pattern of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Listen to it. How does he do that? By changing the way that you think. Yeah, another version says renewing your minds. Listen to this in Ephesians 4, 22 and 23. It says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Verse 23, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. See, when you become a believer, when you come into the kingdom of God, how does transformation happen? Does it happen just like that? Well, I believe there's an element that happens just like that. That moment of salvation when your spirit, and you've heard me say this before, when your spirit collides with the power of Almighty God, a miracle happens there and you are changed. You actually become favored. You become a son and daughter of God. You actually start to, you get that silver spoon in your mouth. That is that point when that happens. But the paradigm by which we live by changes by the renewing of our minds. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who will, listen to Romans, if you let him, Romans 12, 2, but let God, it says, but let God transform you. So if we let him, he will change the way that you think and he will renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Everyone say together, but let God. But let God transform me into a new person by changing the way that I think. Say it with me. But let God. Let's start again. I'm going to go all the way through and you're going to have to stay with me. But let God transform me into a new person by changing the way I think. Now you've got that. Now let's do it again. But let God transform me into a new person by changing the way I think. I think we need to do this one more. We've got to get this. But let God transform me into a new person by changing the way I think. As I work to get through uni, but let God transform me into a new person by changing the way I think. With my temper issue, but let God transform me into a new person by changing the way I think. As I look for a job, but let God transform me into a new person by changing the way I think. As I lead my business through uncertain times, but let God transform me into a new person by changing the way I think. As I try and make my marriage work, but let God change me into a new person by, let God, I've got to get it, transform me into a new person by changing the way I think. As I bring up my kids, but let God transform me into a new person by changing the way I think. As I bring up my kids as a solo mum or a solo dad, but let God transform me into a new person by changing the way I think. You see, that's what a paradigm shift is. We let God change us, transform us into a new person by changing the way that we think. Come on, let's open our Bibles and I want to share with you a paradigm shift that actually happened. Acts chapter 3. And we're going to start at verse 1. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock service. As they approached the temple, a lame man from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the gate of the temple, the one called Beautiful, so that he could beg from the people going to the temple. When Peter and John were about to enter, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked for them some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money, and that's how our cat looks at us. But Peter and John said, I don't have any silver and gold for you, but I will give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly strengthened. He jumped up and stood on his feet and began to walk. Then walking and leaping and praising God, he went to the temple with them. All the people saw what was happening to him. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. Isn't that an amazing story? Imagine that. You're going to church, 10 a.m. service. And on your way, you see somebody out the front of our church. And they're in trouble. They're destitute. You, at that stage, can either just sort of drive straight in, or you can actually stop and you can reach out and you can intervene with their world. Who do you identify with here? Do you identify with Peter the doer, John the dreamer, or the beggar who was sitting at the temple gate? You see, a lot of times when this story is actually preached, We tend to identify with the guy, the beggar, who was sitting at the temple gate. And I could talk about the fact that the crippled man was in a position where something could happen. We could talk about the fact that he was expectant. We could talk about all those things that are important. But this morning, I want our paradigm to actually move to Peter and John. Let's look at this from Peter and John's perspective. They were on their way to pray. They were on their way to church. They weren't priests in the Jewish religion. They were just on their way. They were just ordinary men. And they're just ordinary men like you and I, or ordinary men and women like you and I, if you want to look at it like that. But they were just ordinary people, that'd be the best way to say it, like us, who were on their way to pray. They were ordinary people who had been with Jesus. They were ordinary. They weren't priests. They weren't anything like that. They were ordinary people who had been with Jesus. They were on their way to pray, and something happened as they were on their way to pray. You see, we don't need to depend on a pastor or a ministry team to do the work of the gospel. You don't need to depend on me or the other guys in our ministry team, or Alex, or Mel in youth, you know, Alex in kids, and I could go on and on. You don't need to depend on those people to do the work of a ministry. Ephesians 4:11 says this. It says, Christ gave the church apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do the work. So God's people, so the body of Christ, can actually do the work of the ministry. Let's look at what's going on with this miracle. Let's look at where it happened. It happened at the temple gate. You see, the miracle actually happens before the service even starts. I mean, so often we come to church and I want you to come to church expectant. I want you to come to church expecting that something could happen in this place this morning. But sometimes we actually limit our thinking to the fact that the miracle is only going to ever happen after the word is preached or after we get to that place. In this case here, God is completely ripping up their paradigm because the miracle happened in the car park. The miracle happened outside the gate. The miracle happened on the way to church. We've got to be ready for miracles to happen on the way to church. We've got to be ready for miracles to happen when we're in our workplace. We've got to be ready for miracles to happen in our high school. We've got to be ready for miracles to happen out there. I'm all for miracles happening in here, and I want to see more of that. But wouldn't it be great if more of the miracles are happening out there? And that's what God was doing here. He was ripping up their paradigm and he was saying it's not actually at the prayer service where it's going to happen. The miracle happened as they were coming in. The miracle happened on the way. You see, when you bring a friend to church, that's where the sermon starts. The sermon doesn't start when we jump up here on the stage. The sermon doesn't even start when the worship team get here. The sermon doesn't even start as somebody greets you in the car park. The sermon actually starts as they observe your life. The sermon actually starts as you engage with them. That is where the sermon starts. That's where the power of God starts. You see, I could invite somebody to church with absolutely no relationship whatsoever, and they'll come into this place with probably quite a cynical attitude. But if I've got relationship, if I've got trust, if they know that I'm the real deal, they will come in here with a whole different look at it. I remember speaking to somebody a number of years ago, and did you know that we will probably be able to argue till Jesus comes back about the best way to do church? And there is no best way to do church. There are lots of fantastic ways to do church. And they were talking, and we were discussing this, and they sort of said, well, you know, I don't know if I could bring my friends to this church. And I said to her, I said, why? What is going to make your friends come to this church? And she didn't really have an answer, but I said, what I believe is your friends come to this church because you come to this church. Your friends come to this church because you talk about this church. Your friends come to church, this church, because you've got ownership in this place. You just see, that is going to be much bigger and much more important. We work hard on making our programs work well. We work hard on having an atmosphere where people are welcomed. We work hard on all those things, and I believe they're important, and we need to continue to make this time we have together as meaningful as we possibly can. And we need to make it so that it reaches people out in the community as much as we possibly can. But the big thing why people will come to church is because you ask them and you say, I believe in what I'm doing here. And they see that something's happening in you. That is where the miracle starts. You see, the paradigm shift is the unstoppable power of God resides in every believer. The unstoppable power of God can flow through you. It's not just for the lucky ones. Not just for the crazy ones, you know, the chandelier swingers. It's not just for the pastors. It's not just for the preachers. It's for everyone. See, I think a lot of us understand this paradigm, but it's actually not our paradigm. And my challenge to you this morning is to make this paradigm your paradigm. That the power of God actually resides in every believer. The power of God resides in me. Can you say that? The power of God resides in me. The power of God resides in me. When you're connected to the Holy Spirit, when God is connected to your life, the power of God resides in you. And I'll open that up a little bit more as we go on here. You see, we've got to make that our own paradigm. God, here's the second part of the shift. God has positioned you here at Energizer Life Church so that not only do you spectate and be blessed, but so that you can participate and be a blessing. God has placed you here at Energizer Life Church so that not only will you spectate and be blessed, I've got no problem with people coming into our church and spectating and being blessed. The presence of God's here. People will get blessed. That is fantastic. But if that's all that is, if that's where we stop, we're missing the other very, very important part of it that we actually need to actually be a blessing. We actually need to be a blessing. We need to participate and be a blessing. 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 I sound like a stuck record, but I could go on saying that, and I think if we got that and nothing else, we would go away with something this morning, that we participate and be a blessing. God has positioned you here at Energizer Life Church, not only so that you can spectate and be blessed, but so that you can participate and be a blessing. I don't believe that it's God's will for you just to sit here and soak up the power of God. You see, you should be, and I should be, a channel of the power of God to flow into the lives of people who need it. And that's what I talk about, the power of God residing in us. It's not just like it just stays there. The power of God's supposed to flow through us. We're actually supposed to be a channel. We're supposed to be, if you want to use electricity, we're supposed to be a conductor. We're supposed to be something that the power of God can actually flow through and hit the people that need it and move into their lives. You know, that can be different things for different people. It could be as you take time to actually notice somebody and talk to them in your coffee break at work. As a young mum, it could be as you engage with the other mum in the supermarket who's having the shopping trip from hell. You, at that point, can be a conduit of the power of God to flow into that situation. The band, want to join me, please. All right. So how do we move to that place where we're not just spectating and being blessed, but we are participating so that we can be a blessing? You see, you might say, well, I can't sing, I can't preach, I can't worship lead, I can't do a whole lot of other things. But isn't it interesting that Peter and John, they didn't sing, they didn't preach, they just reached out and they touched somebody on their way, and the healing power of God flowed into somebody's life and changed his life. That's what it is. That's what it is. To be a channel for the power of God to flow. You can join the volunteers in this church. You can get involved with kids ministry. You can help out at high school breakfast clubs. You can get on the car park or the ushering team. You can lead a life group. You can join the Derwent Valley team as we reach in and make a difference into youth up there. You can get involved with our youth ministry team. Over the next couple of weeks, you can get right involved with the Derwent Valley. We still need builders. We still need painters. We still need handy people. We still need anybody that's prepared to make a difference. You can actually participate and be a blessing, just in a really practical way. How often do you find that the miracle happens when you move from where you are and you start to get involved in something? I reckon if you did a survey, you would find that there are lots of people that have actually been healed, that miraculous things have been happened, even at the church working bee, because actually people take on a participatory spirit and people start to bring God into that. They start to pray into those situations. So I believe that that's what we need to do. Let's look at why Peter and John, I'll go through this really fast as I finish, became channels for the Holy Spirit to flow. Number one, they were on their way to pray. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will restore their land. Praying is incredibly important. Pray for others, pray as you go. Some of the most amazing times that I've had with God in prayer have been as I go. They've been as I've been in the car driving to somewhere where I haven't had time to get up in the morning and have a 4-hour quiet time. It's not that I know if I've ever had one that long, but the amazing times with God have been engaging Him as I go in prayer with whatever I'm doing. Number two, they were on their way to participate. If you read the text there, it says they were going to participate in the prayer meeting. They weren't on their way to be spectators. They weren't on their way to watch a show. They were on their way to participate and pray. The third thing is Peter and John looked at the beggar. A lot of us actually walk past opportunities and situations all the time. But Peter and John looked at him and they engaged with him. And actually Peter went beyond that and he said, look at me, look at me. Often we're trying to come up with the amazing solution. Often we talk about innovation, we talk about looking outside of the box, and that's important. But sometimes we've actually got to look inside the box. We've actually got to look at what we've got already. We've got to look at what we already have and start to engage in that place. You see, the guy wanted money. They didn't have money. I don't know whether they just left their wallets at home or what they'd done, but they didn't have money. But what did they do? Most of us, and me included, at that point when you see somebody begging or you see somebody saying, hey, I need money, and you haven't got the money, it almost, you think, well, I'm discounted from that. I can't help. I just walk by. But what did they do? They didn't look for the out-of-the-box solution. They actually looked inside themselves and they said, what do I have? What do I have? I don't have money, but I have the power of God residing inside me. And then he reached out and he engaged with that guy, and the healing power of God flowed. They gave what they have. You see, you know, as you give what you have, as you give what's inside you, you see, all that God needs is all that you have. All that God needs to do a miracle in your world is all that you have. You can't reach out with what you don't have. And sometimes that's where we stop. We think, I haven't got it. I haven't got enough to make a difference. You know, we look out in our city, we look out across the globe and we see incredible need and we think the problem almost feels too big. And you look at situations in people's lives, you see relationships that are in a mess, you see all sorts of things and it's a bit like, well, I can't even start. I just encourage you that the miracle happens when you reach out with what you do have. Last couple of weeks, I had to do a funeral that was very, very difficult. A good friend of mine actually took his own life. And there was complications with things and family and all sorts of things that were going on. And I remember as I drove down to talk to a mother who had lost a son so unnecessarily. And I thought, what am I going to say? What? I cannot say anything that actually changes the situation. And I just remember driving down in the car feeling so totally, totally underprepared. So totally like I didn't have anything. And as all I could do was say, Lord, I just need you to work through me. I haven't got it. I haven't got any answers here. I cannot say a word that is out of myself that's going to make a scrap of difference. So all I could do was just sit down and listen and hear stories and just start to speak a few words of encouragement and just allow the Spirit of God to move. Then we had to put a funeral together, and once again it was the same scenario. To stand up in front of people and in very difficult circumstances, you know, honor the life of someone who was a great bloke. And I thought, how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? And all I could do was respond with what I had. And for some of us, what we have is just our availability. See, I was no different to any of you in that circumstance. I happen to have the title as minister. I happen to have just a little bit of experience, but essentially no different to any of you. I just had myself, and I believed in the Spirit of God that can actually work through me in that situation and that scenario. And I can testify to you this morning that God was with me. That God was with me. But God is with you. Come on, let's stand up. I believe that there are those here this morning that need a breakthrough and need a miracle in your life. And I want you to start to pray right now. I want you to start to pray right now. I want you to start to pray, but God. But God. But God can bring about change. But God can intervene and He can bring about the impossible dream. But God can start to bring restoration in my marriage. But God. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you that you are moving us to a new place. I thank you that you are shifting our paradigms. I thank you right now as I pray for an amazing group of people that they actually live in your favor. Those of us that are sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, those of us that have chosen to follow you, we thank you that you are favoring us. We thank you that you will bless us. We thank you that you will enable us to be connectors of your power. We thank you that you will enable us to be channels of your Spirit to flow into whatever situation that we face and the lives of other people around us that need to be blessed. In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Just while we're standing, you just bow your heads just for a moment. If you want the favor of God on your life, if you want to be somebody that can not just live for yourself, but can be a blessing to other people, that you know, you just think, I would love that power of God to be able to flow through me into somebody else's life. Did you know where it starts? It starts by very, very humbly coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I thank you so much that you love me enough, that you love me enough to leave heaven, that you love me enough to come into this physical realm, this earth, this little blip in the universe. You love me enough to come to that place, and you love me enough to die for me. You love me enough to take the consequences for my rebellion, for the way that I just decided to live life myself, for the fact that me and everybody else was born into rebellion, that humanity has turned its back on God. That if you could actually say this morning, Jesus, I thank you for doing that. Jesus, I want you to come into my life right now. Jesus, I want you to enable me to live for you, and I'm going to choose to follow you this morning. I want to experience your unconditional love and acceptance. If you could do that, if you could do that and mean it with all your heart, a miracle will happen in your life right now. The power of God will connect with your spirit right in this place here this morning if you can mean that with everything in you. I'm just going to give people a moment now, just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you just want to raise your hand and say, Dave, I want to invite Jesus into my life this morning. I want to commit my way to him. I want to become a Christian. I want to become a follower of Jesus Christ. If that's you, why don't you just slip your hand up and say, hey, Dave, that's me. I want to make that choice this morning. I want to be a follower of Jesus. And I'll lead you in a prayer that commits your way to him. Is there anybody that wants to make that choice this morning? That you know that it might be just your time this morning. It's your time to make that decision. God understands exactly where you are. Jesus knows where you've come from. He knows everything you've been through. And he knows what's ahead of you. And he wants to be part of that. He wants to be right there in your life. He wants to be living inside of you. He wants you to understand what it is to have that presence and that power of God living in you. If that's you, just slip your hand up quickly while no one's looking around, and we'll pray together. Is there anybody this morning too, just while people are still thinking about that and God's doing his work, that maybe at one time in your life you've made a decision a little bit like that, but this morning you know that you're not close to God, your walk hasn't been close to God? If that's you this morning, why don't you just slip your hand up and we'll pray a prayer and just to commit your way back to him. If that's you this morning, you want to make that fresh commitment to him, just raise your hand and say, Dave, that's me, and we'll pray together. Is there anybody that needs to do that this morning in this place? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. One person going to do that. I think there might be somebody else that needs to make that decision this morning. Is there anybody else that wants to commit their way back to God this morning? Just slip your hand up quickly and say, that's me. That's me. I want to make that choice. I want to make that choice. Okay, we're going to pray together. Let's keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and we're going to pray together. We're believing. We've got people here this morning committing themselves back to Jesus Christ. Isn't that fantastic? So let's pray together. I'll pray, you pray with me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you that you died for me.
Thank you that you died for me.
I'm sorry I've tried to live my life my own way.
Sorry that I've tried to live my life my own way.
This morning. I come back to you.
I come back to you.
I open my heart.
I open my heart.
And I ask you to fill me afresh this morning.
I ask you to fill me afresh this morning.
Make me new.
Make me new.
Make me clean.
Make me clean.
Thank you that you love me.
Thank you that you love me.
Thank you for saving me.
Thank you for saving me.
I choose to commit my way to you.
I choose to commit my way to you.
I want to follow you.
I want to follow you.
All the days of my life.
All the days of my life.
Thank you for saving me.
Thank you for saving me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In
Jesus' name.
Well, praise God. We're just going to close the service now. We're going to go out and we're going to praise God. If you would like prayer, I just believe some of us this morning need to come and step into a miracle. It's a bit like a paradigm shift, and there are things in your life and you've been thinking, that happens to other people. But why not be bold? Why not be brave? Why not come to the front and say, I am going to step into a miracle this morning, and I'm going to ask God to intervene in my life, in my family, and other situations. And I just believe the power of God here this morning is here to intervene and change mindsets, change our paradigms, and actually change the course of our lives. you know, things that we're struggling with. Why don't we do that? We're going to praise God as we go. If you're here for the first time, we've got a visitors and guests table and little couches and things down the back there. Make sure you get along there and let our team look after you and get to know you. Service here, 6 p.m. tonight. I'm preaching about the favour of God. I'm excited about that. So why not be back here tonight and round up a fantastic day in church as we go into a new week. Thanks very much.